While Trump and Putin meet, China and Europe are having a summit of their own. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin are scheduled to be meeting as we speak. But in Beijing, leaders from the European Union are meeting with Chinese officials for the opening of the EU-China summit. Top of the agenda, trade. This comes not long after President Trump called the EU a foe. Will this push the EU and China closer? Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak joins me now from Shanghai. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Sabri.
China has been trying to rally the international community against U.S. trade policies. Does this summit represent a chance to join forces with the EU against the U.S.?
That's certainly China's hope, but there's really no indication that the EU is prepared to turn away from the U.S., mainly because European companies agree with the Trump administration's criticism of China. They just don't think that tariffs are the way to make China change. Now, the EU Chamber of Commerce did a survey recently of some 500 companies. Nearly half of them said things like unclear rules and regulations, licensing requirements force them to miss out on business opportunities in China.
Well, is there anything that China might do to draw the EU closer?
The EU really wants to sign what they call a comprehensive agreement on investment, which the two sides have been negotiating since 2014. Right now, only 2% of the EU's investment goes to China, while 30% goes to the U.S. But in order to sign that agreement, the EU is calling for China to do things like get rid of investment caps, get rid of forced joint ventures or forced technology transfers, stop favoring state-owned enterprises. Basically, all of the things the U.S. has been calling for with these tariffs and punitive measures.
Well, the EU wants China to do all this. How close is China to doing any of it?
Very far, according to the EU Chamber of Commerce. 18 months ago, President Xi Jinping gave a speech at Davos and pledged reform that got businesses really excited. But the chamber said in another report that the Chinese side is paying more attention to what's going to be done rather than what is actually being done.
Jennifer Pak, Marketplace's China correspondent. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And let's take a look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.6%. Dow and NASDAQ futures are up less than 0.1%. S&P futures down less than 0.1%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.83%. The U.S. Census Bureau will release June retail sales data this morning. Consumer spending, we already know, is strong right now. It surged 0.8% in May alone. But this is faster than wages are rising. So how are consumers financing this current spending spree? And what are they buying exactly? Marketplace's Renata Sego has more.
Retail sales, the golden child of consumer spending, have been rising consistently since the spring. In May alone, consumers opened their wallets wider for restaurants, clothes, and home supplies.
Instead of buying things they need, they're starting to buy things they want.
Randy Connick is a consumer research analyst at Jefferies Financial Group. He says wealthy consumers in particular are spending more thanks to tax cuts and higher returns on investment. Some economists say many people are redirecting money that would otherwise go into saving accounts. Laura Reim is chief U.S. economist at FS Investments. She says inflation is playing its part, too, and there's an increasing reliance on credit cards because
we just are not seeing the wage gains during this expansion that we would expect, given that the unemployment rate, it's down to 4%, and last month it was even lower than that.
Revolving credit grew by $24.6 billion in May from the month before. That's the biggest jump so far this year. I'm Renata Sego for Marketplace.
Not everyone gets a chance to study the economy in school. Anyway, who doesn't need a brush up? Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that we hope is smart, accessible, and hopefully even a bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that, we think, is good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. Thank you.
A rural hospital in southeastern Missouri recently closed its doors. The rural healthcare business has pretty slim margins. This hospital is the 85th rural hospital to shut down in the U.S. since 2010. And it comes in a region of Missouri that has one of the highest infant mortality rates in the country. With this hospital gone, the area will no longer have an OBGYN at all. Bram Sable-Smith of KBIA in Missouri reports.
Tasia Welton is ready for her first child, a girl, to be born. She's got a closet full of baby clothes. She's moved into a bigger house so that she and her daughter, she'll be a single mom, could have more room in this 11,000-person town of Kennett, about 200 miles south of St. Louis. Her baby bag is packed, right down to her daughter's first outfit.
It's really cute.
What's it say?
The princess has arrived. I can't wait to put it on her.
And for 37 weeks, Welton saw Dr. Nelson Perez, the only obstetrics physician in the region. Perez delivers about 400 babies a year, but in May, he had bad news. The hospital was closing, and his practice along with it.
I saw every patient, and I told him, I said, you need to find another OB-GYN doctor. You need to be seen.
Kennett is in Duncan County, the second poorest in Missouri. Babies die here at nearly twice the national average. Now, Perez is no longer practicing here, and he says that's dangerous.
We have 3 to 4 life-threatening emergency a month.
The closed hospital, Twin Rivers Regional Medical Center, was owned by Community Health Systems, a publicly traded company that lost more than $2 billion last year and sold off 30 hospitals. The Twin Rivers closing was billed as a consolidation with a hospital 50 miles away. But that distance takes about an hour to drive on winding rural highways. And Missouri's health director, Randall Williams, says that's not feasible for obstetrics.
Unlike other specialties that might lend themselves to a hub-and-spoke referral model, OB doesn't.
Births often come suddenly. Local doctors say the best hope for pregnant women here is to open a unit at the hospital one county over. It'll cost about $1 million just for equipment and the first few months of salaries. That's a big ask at a tiny rural hospital that lost money 5 of the past 9 years. Tasia Welton gave birth to her baby in May.
She's so beautiful.
But she had to drive herself an hour away to deliver. In Missouri, I'm Bram Sablesmith for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.